Hey there, this is Luxa, here to tell you about the Green Mushroom Project. This is a large-scale, ongoing, remote group working that you can be a part of, which was created to forge bonds of connection and friendship as we regain ground. The Green Mushroom is a hypho sigil, hypho means web, with which we have established a network of green-aspected healing and friendship magic that practitioners can draw upon to work acts of healing, repair, and abundance. The mushroom is also a saprotroph, meaning that it eats dead stuff, and its symbolic connection with death can help to dissolve trauma to make room for new growth. Another thing the hypho sigil is about is helping people find agency through using magic, so they can make positive changes in their lives. The easiest way to start working with the energy of the Green Mushroom Sigil is to incorporate it into your practice or do some art or other creative project with it. This was designed to be accessible to practitioners of any experience level. Once you've connected with the web, you can start to work acts of healing, abundance, and repair. A simple way to begin this is to imagine the mushroom spores, little glowing specks of green magic, collecting where they are needed and doing their work. You can work with the energy of the hypho sigil's web in any way that makes sense to you, as long as it's within the intent of the project. You know, doing chill shit. Just please don't be a dick. There are built-in countermeasures. So far, we've had a lot of really positive results with the project. If you feel like hanging out on Fungal Friday to chat about your practice or your work with the sigil, or maybe you feel like participating in one of the remote group rituals, join the Green Mushroom Council on the Faith Blind Council podcast Discord server. With the symbolism of the mushroom, there is certainly an inherent dick joke, and we like to mess around and have a good time. Laughter, after all, can be the best medicine. Maybe you don't feel like participating in this way, but you feel like you could still use a bit of extra love or support or inspiration or anything like that. If that's the case, then you are more than welcome to tap into what we've created. You see, since magic isn't a zero-sum game, your working with the web will help to strengthen it in much the same manner as it is intended to strengthen all of those who interact with it. If we're a forest or a stand of trees, then the Green Mushroom Hypho Sigil is like the vascular, arbuscular mycorrhiza fungi, which works in sometimes unseen ways to provide support and connection. So, if you're into it, join us in whatever way works for you. You can join the Discord server or write the sigil in your journal as a reminder to practice good self-care or whatever. You can draw the sigil on an egg or a banana and do some breakfast magic. Maybe make some art or music or whatever your deal is. Maybe try out some other creative thing you're curious about. You can share pictures of your work with the sigil by using the Green Mushroom hashtag and follow the project on Instagram at HyphoSigil. You can also join in as we light a candle with the sigil on Friday at midnight Eastern US time, as we say the following words to remind ourselves to resist. Resist by maintaining sovereignty of the self. Resist by maintaining love of the self. Resist by maintaining fierce loyalty to love and pleasure. Resist with acts of radical kindness. Focus on the path to better times. Hope to see you on this or the astral plane. Much love.
Luxa Cult is part of the Green Mushroom Podcast.
Delta, Echo, Alpha, Charlie, Hotel, Echo.
They also make questions more dangerous. We were forming a passion with pipeline show. Cultural smoke screens were doing that with cult practices. We create a safe haven for the wonder of my bedrooms. We encourage unquantified reciprocity. We empower critical thinking students. We're not just doing that. We are fucking magic.
Come, said my soul, such verses for my body let us write, for we are one. That should I after death invisibly return, or long, long hence in other spheres, there to some group of mates the chance resuming, tallying earth's soil, trees, winds, tumultuous waves. Ever with pleased smile may I keep on, ever and ever yet the verses owning, as first I hear and now, singing for soul and body, set them to my name. Walt Whitman! Hello and welcome to Lux Occult. It's the podcast where we gleefully taunt the mundane, butcher the Latin and most other languages, and also discuss a variety of occult topics. I'm your host, Lux Estrada, and if you are hearing the sound of my voice, that means that this show, and magic for that matter, are for you if you want them. There are many different ways to be more free, and using magic or making space for a spiritual practice in your life can be one of them. As always, I don't speak for anybody but myself. Others can, will, and should disagree sometimes. How would we ever learn anything if we all agreed all the time after all? And like anybody who tries to be reasonable should, I am willing to revise my opinions based on new evidence. All right, I'm super stoked today to be presenting this first in the Green Mushroom Project audio grimoire series. As you probably heard in the little informational spot before the show, the Green Mushroom Project is a large-scale group working that you can be a part of, which is aimed at connectivity and increased agency through the use of occult technologies, as well as solidarity against gross bullshit like hate groups. There are all kinds of ways to participate in the project. In fact, that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about in today's episode. So the Green Mushroom audio grimoire series is going to be an ongoing thing, which will hopefully come out every, 45 days or so. We will see. This is all quite experimental, and there's a lot of moving parts, so yes, we'll see. For this first introductory episode, I had the absolute pleasure of speaking with some very rad folks. We have Dave Ardrey from Unearthing Paranormalcy, as well as Frater Yarmurid from Faithblind Council and Administrism, all sibling shows here on the Green Mushroom Podcast Network. Also joining me today is Joy the Sorceress, Josh, also known as Junior C, Minu, and the Rabbit, also known as Rabbits by me. Sorry, dude. It was really cool and inspirational to hear about the stuff that everybody has been getting up to, as well as about people's like thoughts and perspectives. I'm really, really glad to be able to share what these fine folks have to say with all of you as well. So before we dive into what is a very cool conversation, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody participating in the Green Mushroom Project, however that looks for you in your practice. Much love, respect, and reciprocity. Fuck yeah. Also, thank you for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to hang out with me here and all the very cool guests I've been lucky enough to talk to on this show. I'm super grateful to have such amazing listeners. You folks really are the cat's pajamas. I always welcome people's thoughts, questions, comments, suggestions, or arcane revelations. You can reach me at luxoccultpod@gmail.com or hit me up on Instagram at luxoccultpod. I've been a bit of a hermit lately, but that doesn't mean that I don't want to hear from you all. If you like the show and you're into what I'm doing, you can support it on Patreon. If you do so, you can take a bibliomancy break with me. There are no tiers or levels or whatever, so give as you will. And thank you so much to everybody who's already doing so. Your support really means so much, and it really makes the show possible. Okay, so to start out, I wanted to quickly explain what is meant by audio grimoire. I'm guessing you probably get the audio part, which, by the way, is from the Latin verb audire, to hear. But what's a grimoire? Okay, well, A grimoire, also known as a book of spells or spellbook, is a textbook of magic, typically including instructions on how to create magical objects like talismans and amulets, how to perform magical spells, charms, and divination, and how to summon or invoke supernatural entities such as angels, spirits, deities, and demons. In many cases, the books themselves are believed to be imbued with magical powers, although in many cultures, other sacred texts that are not grimoires, such as the Bible, have been believed to have supernatural properties intrinsically. The only contents found in a grimoire would be information on spells, rituals, and the preparation of magical tools and lists of ingredients and their magical correspondences, etc., stuff about doing magic. In this manner, while all books on magic could be thought of as grimoires, not all magical books should be thought of as grimoires. So a book can be magical, but what makes it a grimoire is that it's full of like instructions and shit. Or it's like a sort of log of what people have done. Okay, so back to the definition. It is most commonly believed that the term grimoire originated from the old French word grammarie. I'm sure I didn't say that right. Which had initially been used to refer to all books written in Latin. By the 18th century, the term had gained its now common usage in France and had begun to be used to refer purely to books of magic. However, the term grimoire later developed into a figure of speech among the French and indicated something that was hard to understand. In the 19th century, when increasing interest in occultism among the British following the publication of Francis Barrett's The Magus in 1801, the term entered the English language in reference to books of magic. Okay, fuck yeah, thank you, Wikipedia. So, the audio grimoire series is going to be, as the name suggests, a sort of reference for people who are new, or curious, or into the Green Mushroom Project, so that you can learn more by hearing people talk about what they've done, and the different ways they've worked with the project, and their thoughts about it. There are also a lot of written materials available where we've outlined different rituals and all kinds of other stuff, so check out the show notes for all of that stuff. As far as this podcast taking on the kind of magical properties that a grimoire is sometimes said to have, well, we'll just have to see what happens, I suppose. I'm not going to go too far into like the theory behind the project today, just because it's like kind of a lot, and today's episode is about introducing people and not overwhelming them with an informational overload. We should have ample time to talk about all of that stuff later, especially if people are like into it. But if you're like me and you like getting into the nuts and bolts of the theoretical underpinnings behind things, you can check out the slideshow in the show notes, which is something that I made for the meeting about starting the project a few days before we actually did, which was on Halloween of 2020. So it's a nice overview of some of like the basic theory stuff behind it. If you have any questions about any of this, please don't hesitate to send them to me at luxoccultpod@gmail.com or on Instagram at luxoccultpod, or you can find me on the Faithblind Council Discord server where you can also ask questions. So the purpose of doing this series is to make things more accessible, and chances are if you have a question about something, somebody else might as well, so do both of you a favor and go ahead and ask it. Alright, so before we get rolling into it's a very rad conversation, a few words about the background leading up to starting the project and everything. So after some like synchronicities and stuff led me to the Faithblind Council podcast Discord server, I spent some time lurking there, hanging out, you know, watching. Everybody was super chill. They were very welcoming. It was really cool. Anyway, I had heard some episodes of their podcast, and I really liked how they spoke with a lot of earnestness and passion about a few topics that I thought were really important. Also, it wasn't the kind of show that takes itself so seriously that it, like, disappears up its own asshole, which is always a fucking, like, danger with this shit. So, anyway, you know, it made me say, like, yeah, yes, please, more of that. And I had been researching and putting ideas and concepts together for this project, this green mushroom hypho sigil or web sigil that I wanted to make since the summer of 2020. And I had gotten a lot of like really good ideas from people and good advice and stuff. Like I mentioned in the conversation coming up here, Dave from Unearthing Paranormalcy was a big inspiration to me. And when I got over my social anxiety enough to do so, I approached Yara about the project. I wrote him this super long message on Discord. He probably thought I was totally fucking bonkers, but he said he was down to help. And he and I talked a little bit about like how we could organize it and like how all that might work and like a bunch of other stuff too, and made plans to like pitch it to the folks on the server who were into doing telemagic or remote magic or whatever. That's where the slideshow in the show notes comes from. And yes, the rest is history. We started the project on the night of October 31st, 2020. It was pretty rad. There was a full moon that night. And we started out just super simple. We said the, you know, the words. People lit a candle or just incorporated the sigil into some kind of a simple ritual. And people also wore the color green or incorporated the color green into the ritual. So super simple stuff, but it was a really cool way to get it rolling. And I just really can't say enough about how grateful I am to everybody that helped and everybody that's been participating, and just in general that it has been something that has been useful and cool for some people. And yeah, it's a fucking honor and a privilege, so fuck yeah, I'm super stoked. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and get into it here. I'm so excited to present this conversation to you. I'll be back about halfway through for some bibliomancy. But first, here is a track that the very talented Qvaro made for the Green Mushroom Project. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoy. Remember to resist. Resist by maintaining sovereignty of the self. Resist by maintaining love of the self. Resist by maintaining fierce loyalty to above the pleasure. Resist with acts of rational kindness. Focus on the path. Better times. Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, I am super fucking stoked to be here today with all of you for this first kind of experimental recording of the Green Mushroom Project audio grimoire series. How's everybody?
Good.
All right. So I've got a lot of fucking cool people here with me today. I think what would make sense is, why don't we just sort of like go down the list here? And everybody, if you could introduce yourselves and maybe say a couple things about yourself.
All right. Well, looks like I'm first on the list. I am Manu, Chaot, Dirt Sorcerer, Rock Mage, Primevalist, General Grubby Dirt Man, I guess.
All right. Fuck yeah.
My name's Josh. I'm Junior C on the server, and I am a geek animists, like Manu said, but less hardcore, I think. And yeah, that's me.
Okay, fuck yeah.
Hey, I'm the Rabbit. Some people call me the Business Wizard into Chaos Magic, and just exploring everything. Glad to be here.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I'm Yara, short for Yara Marud. I consider myself a hillbilly alchemist and librarian, and I'm co-host of the Faith Blind Council podcast. Been a chaote for a fucking ass long time. But yeah, I do all sorts of shit.
Hell yeah. And yeah, I'm sure that people who have listened to the show have heard you on several episodes. So yes. And Joy.
Hey, I'm known as Joy the Sporceress on the Discord. I don't know, labels kind of fucking terrify me. I just like fucking with shit a whole lot, deconstructing my own thought processes, and hanging out in the woods most of the time.
All right, fuck yeah.
I'm Dave Ardrey. I'm a druid, and I'm doing my best.
As we all fucking are trying. Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. Well, thank you guys so much. Welcome. I really appreciate everybody being here. I'm Luxa. I like to make shit. That's probably all you really need to know about me right now. But so I'm so excited to hear different people's perspectives about, you know, working with this project and sort of connecting with it, because everybody has a different, you know, way of doing things when it comes to magic, and all of those ways are valid, and a lot of them can work for other people and sometimes. And so I think it can be really valuable for us to just touch base and talk about like the kind of stuff that we're doing, and hopefully the people that are listening will be able to find some tools in this conversation to get involved with the project if that's what something that they're interested in doing. So I think what would make sense to do would just be to maybe at first we should just have a quick conversation about like what is the Green Mushroom Project, and we could do this like a panel. Does that sound okay to y'all?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, cool. Okay, so all right. Anyway, like in your, like when somebody asks, like, what is the Green Mushroom Project, what would you tell them?
Oh, well, I would say it's a mycorrhizal network made of people. It is a fungal network of connected practitioners across space and time, focusing on that green mushroom energy to do mutual practices or separate practices, or simply expand one's own practice by kind of tapping into that energy. It's a big old network of green floaty stuff you can hop onto and ride that energy for productive, positive, and growth-oriented practices. Mostly, I describe it as a group of dorks that I hang out with on the internet, but it also, from a practical point of view, is an expansion network.
Fuck yeah.
Got it in one. All
right, right, everybody go home.
And that's a wrap.
I don't have anything else to add. I'm sorry.
That was pretty hard to follow. I think for me, like it's really meant a lot to, you know, have this kind of opportunity to reach out in a sort of like magical way and connect with folks. Like, I think that there is so much toxicity or whatever, you know, floating around in these like digital spaces and stuff. And to sort of like, you know, I think that the vibe like on the Faith Blind Council Discord server already like was, you know, a fertile soil for this kind of a thing to grow in, and to just sort of like, you know, really like try to build that kind of opportunity for what, you know, hopefully like authentic connection, if that's like a thing that can be achieved. I don't know. I wonder sometimes, but not to get off track. But yeah, like this idea of taking like a digital space and making it more like intentionally magical and functional for humans.
I love that model of soil of planting seeds, because yeah, we're in our own little way putting something into the ground and watching what grows there. I do think it kind of inherently that helps the mission, right? That helps the mission of lowering that toxic space, just focusing on what is able to be produced, or what is able to be made, or what is able to grow out of that soil as the connecting factor rather than in spite of it.
Personally, I find the analogy of the fertile soil particularly apt, because when the Green Mushroom Project first started, I was approached by Luxa on the server and asked about like its development and how to create it and things like that. And that it was either that night or right afterwards, I had done a ritual in which she had given me what is the green mushroom sigil. And I had been growing different like kinds of mushrooms, like the lion's mane and shiitake, in my house, and I had had some substrate in mycelium that had been kind of compromised, and I couldn't really do anything with it. So what I had done was I had taken the green mushroom sigil and printed it off and mixed it in with that substrate and added that to my compost for the purpose of basically helping create the thing and having it start growing. And once that had all been mixed with the compost, I had taken that compost in order to fertilize what would become our home garden. So yeah, I find that fertile soil thing very apt, because I mean, it was used as soil. It was used as a growing, like a growing area, and it has provided sustenance for me and my family.
Fuck yeah, that's so dope, dude. And yeah, thank you for like doing that. That's really, really cool. I don't remember if you ever told me that or not, but that's very cool. I'm thinking now of this like new project that you're working on, administrism and stuff, and like, you know, that how like you've connected with the land that you're living on, and like, yeah, it's just all very cool. Fuck yeah.
I think I'd like to add something to when this project was born, like if we think about the time frame, a lot of people have mentioned toxicity, and I was thinking a lot about, you know, conversations I was hearing during the pandemic, and you know, the whole politosphere about kind of when can we quote go back to normal, and does normal suit everyone, and do we want to go back to normal, and if not, what do we want that? What do we want the world to look like? What do we want our lives to look like? What are viable alternatives, and how would you create those models so that other people might see working models of something different, a different way of being? And I had done some ritual to kind of just, you know, broadly quote, find the others, and the green mushroom popped up, and I was like, oh, fuck yeah, this is this is awesome. This is a call, like a call and response. This was an answer, not just to like what I was looking at, but to that question of what else can things look like? What might be a different way of being, or what might alternatives look like? And just creating this kind of supportive network seemed so timely and so apt. And I think it's important to wrap it in the context of you know, world events and stuff too, for that reason.
Yeah,
fuck yeah, dude, absolutely. I was doing some enchantment work for similar ends, as to find the others, and so I'm glad that we found each other too.
For my part, I was looking around at the fictional response to the pandemic, like the way that genres were reacting to it, and solar punk, once the pandemic hit, like went through the roof. Like everybody was looking for this brighter, happier coexistence that we could point to as a goal for the future. And then at about the same time that happened, the Green Mushroom Project was proposed and got started. And it's just this amazing consilience of the general culture and magic culture coming together, you know, for the shared goal of a greener, more connected future. And I'm so glad that this got started and that it's gaining momentum as it is, because it's a strong corollary for what's happening out in some parts of the culture. And if we can be available as a, I guess the occult representation in that movement, I think we'd be scratching an itch that a lot of people have.
Fuck yeah. All the spooky weirdos can come to us if they want to.
And get turned into optimistic green dorks.
You can be both. I don't know. Things are complicated. Fuck yeah. Thank you.
Just follow the spores.
Like all day, every day, look for the spores. And if you can't find any spores, make spores. Always be making spores.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now I'm just envisioning like some kind of green mushroom edgelord composting program.
What would edgelord composting look like?
It's like the composting facilities in Tucson. Oh, God. No, the composting facilities in this town catch fire with regularity because they're just so vigorous about composting. That's edgelord composting. Composting so hard we start ourselves on fire.
All right.
I don't know. I think there's something about like the medium and the message here with the analogy between networks and the internet, creating those with the mycelial network and making like the internet better through like kind of that sapertroph analogy, taking something toxic and turning it into something productive.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I think that's it's a huge thing for us, right? Is like, how do we take something shitty and turn it into something cool? Like, if we can. Maybe that's like the way I stated it was a little bit reductive, but yeah, the general principle. Like,
I agree with that. That's solid.
Fuck yeah. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure what you want me to talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, so maybe this might be a harder question for you to answer because you've sort of like been with the project like since we began it, right? So it's like, how did you connect with it? Well, like you helped me sort of like get it going and everything. So as did Yara and, you know, a few other people. Like, all of it was honestly looking back kind of a fucking blur because it was such an intense time. But yeah, do you want to maybe talk a little bit about like those like early days? Like
me personally, I mean, a lot of my world and a lot of my practice and my life, it was like caving in on itself. And I don't know, I was just like, I guess to put it metaphorically, I was just like screaming into the void about it. And I looked over and I saw Luxa screaming next to me. I was like, hey.
Yeah, I literally used that phrase for what I was doing, actually. So... That's funny that you phrase it that way.
And I was like, how about we team up and we turn our screams into like the voices of a choir and we try to build something up to help ourselves and to help others.
Yeah, things seemed pretty fucking shitty back then. And they still sort of do, to be honest. They're getting better, but like, just, and this, I mean, for me personally, but I spoke to many other people and I was like, I don't know, y'all, like, everything, and everybody's like, yeah, that's how we all feel. And I'm like, really? Fuck. We're all fucked. Like, and so having something like this to like, no, we're not. Like, we can use magic and do something else. Like, we are fucking magicians. We can take some kind of control of some part of the situation in whatever way we can that will start the snowball rolling for us in some way. At least that's how I felt about it.
Yeah, I mean, when I joined up with the project, I was in this period where I was starving for community. I was in pretty desperate need of that kind of contact, right? I was working on easing off that isolation and easing off the isolation that many, many people were feeling during that period. And I was trying to be active about that. But it sort of ended up seeming like a funnel that directed me towards this might as well, if we're working on rebuilding connectivity regardless, find a point of connection with a bunch of people who are distinctly interested in doing that thing, a project that is distinctly focused on doing that thing. It sort of felt, I often talk about like tumbling down a spiral, like a cartoon character just kind of rolling down this hill towards a central point, or like tossing a penny into a well at a resort spot. But you end up at that central point regardless, just because that's where the gravity pulls you. That's kind of where you need to go.
Sure. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've probably covered what the project is, at least in like, like what it means to us and everything. There's all kinds of components to the project. Like, how are we actually doing this? Well, we mentioned like we hang out and we do Fungal Friday chats on the Discord server every Friday night. We light the candle at midnight and we say the words that you heard in the beginning. But there's a lot of other things. Like sometimes people like aren't into doing that. They don't want to use Discord. They don't want to talk to people. They want to do it on their own by themselves because like that's their jam and that's totally cool. So that's one of the reasons that we're like having this conversation. So if somebody out there is listening and like that's their deal and they don't want to like, you know, whatever, like they just want to like do it by themselves in their own way, like what would you like recommend they do to sort of like get involved or like get connected with the project?
Well, one of the cool things about it is that if you're doing good stuff anyway, if you are doing magic that you believe in, that you think is productive, that you think is positive, that you think is facilitative of that, you can participate in the project just by sprinkling a little bit of green mushroom in that work. You're already trying to improve your lives and the other lives of those around you regardless. So toss a green mushroom sigil on it. I do that throughout the entire course of the week, entirely in my own personal practice. No one's around, but I'll put a dash of green mushroom on the thing just to tap into that network and continue to feed that productivity. No talking to people required. It's A-okay.
So, like, in your estimation, like, is this something that you do to, like, feed the current? Or is the current, like, feeding you? Or is it, like, a two-way street? Like,
very much a two-way street. Yeah, no, I see it as very, very mutual.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. That's how I see it, too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The project's feeding the good work that I'm trying to do, and the good work that I'm trying to do is feeding the project. That, I mean, this ties into something that I can talk about a little bit later about how I found it to be very, very expansive of whatever I happen to be doing anyway. It tends to build it up. But yeah, no, absolutely. Work in tandem.
Okay.
I might share my quick spore generating meditation. Really quick description is this is usually my Friday morning meditation is given over to spore production, and I start with controlled breathing, bring my heart rate down, get into the proper headspace, and then invoke the six directions, invite participation from local spirits, and then on my inhalation, I'm pulling chthonic decaying energy out of the environment. I'm envisioning coming it in to the bottom of my body, and then on my exhale, I'm expelling spores in my breath and from my hands, just out into the environment and getting it out there. If there's been a call for healing for someone from the community, this is the process I'm going through, and I'm directing those spores towards them. When I'm greeting you guys on Friday morning, that's usually what I just did.
Oh, really? That's dope, dude. Fuck yeah, I love it. Very cool.
So yeah, that's my fungal Friday mornings, and then yeah, show up in the evenings and talk about food and dicks.
Hey, we talked about it.
Occasionally, yeah.
Sorry.
No need to apologize.
I mean, I think a great place to start is just with meditation on a green mushroom in the first place. So get yourself into a good headspace, sit down, meditate for a while, clear your mind, and then just try to envision a green mushroom in your head. Like, it's probably the simplest place you could start.
Okay. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Totally. If people that are listening are like good at like imaginal stuff, like, yeah, that seems like a good place to start for sure.
Yeah. We're building on that. There's those meditations out there about the astral temple, the green mushroom astral temple. People, you know, can go and visit that if they don't want to connect in, you know, through Discord or other ways too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, guided meditations out there too that, you know, people might be able to, you know, find useful in doing that for sure. I was thinking, you know, incorporating the sigil into some artwork has been a way that a lot of people have said was super accessible. So that's always an option too that I will usually recommend people try if they're into it. I feel like you had a suggestion, Yara, or you wanted to share a way that you did it.
Yeah, I was going to say that as far as my work with it and how I had mentioned like the starting ritual that I did, as far as the Fungal Friday discussions, I don't go on there all that much. I don't participate in that discussion all that much due to other issues or like time constraints and whatever. But I know that just like my garden, it's always going to be there. It's always something that if I need it, I can just go over there and tap into it.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Luxa from the future. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. Many, many thanks to Dave, Yara, Manu, Joy, Josh, and Ravitz for joining me. Super dope talking to everybody, and thank you for listening. All right, so as promised, here is the Bibliomancy break. And as I am all by myself right now, I think I will ask a sort of general question. So for those listening right now, what might be a good point of advice in terms of either beginning or moving forward with one's green mushroom work? All right, got the D4 and the D8 here. All right, it looks like I've got a 7 and a 2. Ooh, it's going to be from the Essential Rumi. All right, I found it. My desk currently looks like I'm trying to hide behind a fort made of books. But yes, I have located it. All right. Oh, Eris, what might be a good way for those listening, and for myself, to move forward or to begin, or to interrogate the idea of beginning working with the Green Mushroom Project? Okay. The ecstatic astonishment with Rumi's poetry comes from his first-hand wonder at how the ocean comes to court the drop. I once had a dream where I was supposed to give a lecture on Rumi in D.H. Lawrence, but I couldn't find the lecture hall. The challenge was to connect Lawrence's dark body knowledge with Rumi's spiritual enlightenment. I ended up in some anteroom eating hors d'oeuvres. The mind knows when it's been assigned to work out its purview. Rumi's poetry nourishes the part of us that wants a continually unfolding truth, not some confined conclusion. The relationship of soul wisdom and the body, Solomon and Sheba, is a dynamic dance that keeps generating stories. Okay, dope. Thank you, Eris. So that was an introduction to part of the book by the translator Coleman Barks. Yeah, I really like that it sort of hit on this idea of narrative, an unfolding story. I think that that's something that is really key, and I think definitely does come up a lot in our discussions and in other places, like Aidan Wachter's work, especially Weaving Fate, this idea of what are the stories that we're telling ourselves and how does that end up unfolding in our lives. And this idea of like being cognizant of how that plays out for you in terms of how much control you really do have about the kind of stories you tell yourself about what you can and cannot do or who you are or are not. So yeah, fuck yeah. I think that's very fucking on point. Thank you so much, Eris. We're going to be getting back to the conversation in just a second here, but I did want to let you know that after our chat is over, I'm going to play one of the first guided meditations that we came up with for the Green Mushroom Project. And this is a version of it that has never before been released. I was worried that it was a little bit too horny the way that I read it. But you know what? Fuck it. Maybe it is a little too horny, but maybe you'll like it. I don't know. So yeah, there is a version where Dave from Unearthing Paranormalcy reads it, and you can hear that as part of the meditation mashup episode where me and the folks from Faithline Council talk about the practice of meditation and a bunch of other stuff that is very funny. So yes, I hope you're enjoying the show. As always, if you have any questions about any of this stuff, please don't hesitate to reach out. I did want to mention that Fungal Friday voice chat is held every Friday night from around 9 p.m. to around midnight or after on the Faithblind Council Discord server in a channel that is right now called the Conversation Pit. But yes, we are there on Friday nights to hang out and chat. And at midnight Eastern time, we say the words when we remind ourselves to resist, and we light a candle with the Hypho Sigil. So yes, please join us if you are so inclined. And we have guidelines for group participation and all that stuff if anybody has any questions about how to do that. All right, well, fuck yeah. Let's get back to it here. Here is the continuation of the first chapter of the Green Mushroom Audio Grimoire series. You were saying that these Fungal Friday chats, like, you're not able to, like, make it all the time because, yeah, you've got a lot of shit going on, but, like, you know that it's available to you. And yeah, I think that that's something that it matters, I think, to me, is to, like, yeah, to be able to, like, hold that space for people. Like, I hate that fucking phrase, but, like, you guys know what I'm saying? Like, to have that opportunity there. And a lot of times it's something that I look forward to all week because I really like socializing with y'all.
Right. And like that's the thing. When I can join, I will. But on the times that I can't, I'm not concerned about it. It's much like, you know, how with the initial ritual thing that I had done and adding it to the compost and everything, I'm fully comfortable and cognizant of the fact that, yes, it carries on its own. It does its own thing. It doesn't need, you know, constant supervision or constant whatever, and it doesn't always need my participation. I know that it's growing. I know that it's, you know, taking care of its own shit. It's dealing with the toxicity that it was intended to deal with. It's like my garden. It's over there. It's doing its own fucking thing, and I don't need to worry about it all the time. Just like nature, just like a mushroom, it's going to continue doing what it does without my input. But I know that at the same time, if I ever feel like jumping in, or, you know, as we were previously talking about, the if you don't feel the need to be an active participant, you don't have to, but it's still there. It's still going to be something that if you feel the need to actively participate in, go for it. You can do it. But if you don't, it's fine. It's going to be there regardless, and it will continue to grow. And, you know, all of that healing energy and all of the positivity that comes from it will continue to, you know, exponentially grow. And that I'm totally comfortable with. It's an entity that I have the means and capacity to get in contact with at any time.
Yeah, fuck yeah, I love that. And I mean, yeah, even for me, sometimes, like, just the current itself is like that for me too. It's just there, and when I connect with it, like, I can feel the feeling of connectedness, and that's just sort of independent of actually speaking to anybody involved with it. So yeah, totally. So sometimes what we do on Fungal Friday chats is something called invoking the void.
I was thinking about that. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I think we've just invoked the void. Maybe we should explain what we're fucking talking about. So sometimes there's like these long awkward pauses in conversations, or sometimes like they can go in such a way as to become like stuck on a sort of infinite regress, you know. This was a strategy that we sort of developed to correct course when that happens, or to embrace the awkward silences when they occur. So yes.
And invoking the void is simple, practical magic that you can do at home. It's as easy as not speaking.
Like the green mushroom, the void will always be there for you.
Oh, void, you're my only.
I guess as far as where people should start with it, kind of just, oh, look over some of the things we've put together, some of the philosophy behind it, and see how you can incorporate that inside your own paradigm or tradition, because the Green Mushroom Project is, it's open for all, and everybody brings something new into it when they come to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Fuck yeah.
As far as that list of things, like, Luxa, you've produced a vast amount of audio sigil content that is also wholly usable in any kind of independent practice. I use it and have used it repeatedly for visualization work. So if you're into, like, imaginal work at all, I have done various invocations in deities who have worked with previously in some of our online rituals, and then reapplied those in future work for connecting or bring myself back to that space. And I think that's totally replicable even outside of that independent ritual, because that audio sigil, it still carries a lot of that energy. It has a very identifiable beat or a very kind of identifiable energy to the music itself. And you can work that into a visualization work or an imaginal work or accessing the astral temple, which I'm sure we're going to get into at some point. But that's a wonderful little tool that is just free and available online.
Fuck yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you found it useful.
I was going to make a comment of, like, I kind of thought that we would back way up. Luxa, is this the intent of this conversation, to provide people from any skill level, from beginner to whatever, an entry point?
Yeah, sure. This is an introduction. And, you know, if we can accomplish the goal of providing people an entry point, I think that we will have served our purposes.
Yeah. I mean, my thought was, we covered a lot of, like, hey, you should go look at this thing, go look at that thing. But, like, the practical, hey, I'm just going to listen to this. What do we do now? Or what do I do now? Isn't quite there.
Okay. Well, if somebody said, what do I do now? What would you tell them?
I mean, I started with, like, hey, just, like, meditate on a green mushroom. Something as simple as that.
I would say, like, after doing that, like, see how you feel, like, see how that treats you and journal about it. It's always a good idea to keep track of your experiences. Often through those types of practices, you'll be able to get a feel for, like, where it makes sense for you to go next. Like, maybe you'll get an idea to do some art. Maybe you'll get the urge to reach out and socialize. Maybe you'll, I don't know, whatever, want to plant something or do some environmental work, whatever it is. Like, I feel like, at least for me, a lot of times these things don't necessarily, like, follow a linear trail. It's sort of more of, like, a breadcrumb thing. So yeah, I don't know. I would say, like, after you sort of start connecting with it, be open to following your own instinct about where it goes next for you.
Yeah, you got this sigil. You've got this green mushroom sigil that is attached to this project. And now you have the opportunity to do as many things with that sigil as you would do with a sigil. I like to paint it on rocks and throw it places. You can paint it as part of an artistic project. You can graffiti it. I don't recommend this for legal reasons. You can graffiti it.
You can do that. We're not saying that you should, but, I mean, you can. You totally can. And it's probably not even that hard. I mean, the sigil's super simple, but, like, we're not, definitely not saying that you should do that. Definitely not.
Or, you know, if it happens to be naturally occurring based on something that you've done, then it's not technically graffiti.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely not suggesting that.
We're not suggesting that anybody break the law, okay?
Ever. No one break the law. Do scribble the sigil in the dirt with your finger. That's a ton of fun and brings me a lot of joy.
Absolutely.
You can also scry into the sigil and just see where it takes you, kind of as one does with a candle flame.
Okay, interesting. Hell yeah.
Yeah, you know, when I came to the Green Mushroom, I was doing a lot of divination at the time. And I remember one of the first things I did was run out into the woods and grab the first mushroom that I could find, with the intent of divining somehow with the mushrooms to kind of connect myself into the Green Mushroom Project. And I found a puffball, so I puffed the spores onto, like, a little green post-it and folded it over, like, a Rorschach print. And that was the divination. And it was immediate, and I was like, wow, that's so cool. So, like, like, be creative. Like, we have all these suggestions, but I think I'm a big fan of using your intuition and being creative too. I think if the intention is there and you want it, you'll figure out a way to kind of, like, plug in too.
Yeah, absolutely. At least in my experience, like, if you can get to a place where you're trusting yourself enough to go with your own instincts and intuitions about, you know, where these things lead for you magically, what these different symbols mean to you, you know, when you're putting things together for a ritual or whatever. Working from that place of like instinct and intuition is when you're really like, you know, starting to quote cook with gas or whatever. That's when shit can really start to click and things can become really natural. And I think a lot of times I hear people like asking again and again, like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? And I mean, this comes from, I mean, we're social animals. Like there's always going to be a sort of appeal to authority, right? Of like the right way to do something or, but when it comes to magic, right? Like that's not really the case. Like there's nobody else that's going to be able to connect for you with your own like magical power or spiritual power, whatever the fuck, right? So like you really have to be willing to be the ultimate like authority in that for yourself. So yeah, I think that kind of goes a little bit to what you're saying. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense, dude.
Yeah, bring your own juice.
Bring your own juice. Yeah, like, and nobody's juice, like, other people's juice is dope, but nobody's is going to be as strong as your own. Like,
and we're all wheezing that juice, if I can use that.
I mean, when you can mix the juice together into some kind of, like, a big bathtub full of jungle juice, like, that's dope, too. But, like, in general, sorry, I'm really getting in the fuck greens here.
Like but, a green
but
mushroom
every different
bomb.
Way that every different way that someone approaches it does benefit the project, right? Like every new kind of juice, every new flavor we're tossing into that bathtub and having ourselves a bubble party, it's going to be more fun and more productive for everyone. Like the more diversity we can add to those systems, the better. So not only by taking an idiosyncratic approach to it are you benefiting you, but you're benefiting the system. What's the point of making all these different connections if we're all adding the same materials to the pile?
Yeah.
If we are making a collaborative space, again, that word, but if we are making a collaborative space, then it is wholly benefited by each and every point of contact, every point of green light that gets connected to that network. We're reaching our roots out, seeing where they make contact, and that's fun for everybody.
The junglier the juice, the better.
And also to anybody who's listening who's like brand new to the practice or whatever, and this is sounding very scary or whatever, like you could totally just light a candle with this sigil and that's totally chill too. Like you don't have all of the wild things that we just said, like please don't let that put you off. Like it doesn't have to be any other way than the way that you want it to be in your own practice. So yes, just to clarify in case that was not clear to anybody listening.
But that's an important point. Like I'm essentially a hermit except for my socialization online. I mean, I guess maybe that's true and not true in some ways, but just I get so much, like I get so jazzed about what other people are doing. And it's kind of like, you know, if you think about if you're a creative person and you have like a Pinterest board or anything, you're just looking at a magazine or something and you get inspired by looking at what other people are doing. And maybe you're not going to go and, you know, build a 50-foot mixed media thing. You're going to go paint instead. But it's the same thing. I get so inspired by all of the brilliant people that are part of this project. And that includes people that aren't on the chats, people that just kind of like will drop something in, even like hit the hashtag on Instagram or something, and just I can see what they're doing and it's really cool. And the thing I like the most about it is it just busts up all the social convention bullshit. Like I have heard some of the wisest shit from people who have not read 50 grimoires. And I've gotten some really cool techniques from people who have abstracted techniques over and over again into like their own thing. It's really interesting because I think it creates so many entry points from wherever you are, like whatever you're into. I think it's pretty easy to kind of just lurk and find something that appeals to you and then kind of explore that. It's very exploratory and experimental in nature, which I think makes it accessible.
Yeah, and when people run into issues with that, if you are feeling social, there's usually someone around. As the almost now standard greeting it is, you know, there's usually someone around with half a clue if you have questions. So yeah, we're a strong and very diverse community, and that diversity is really able to help people with whatever questions. If you're looking for guidance, lore, ideas, memes, you know, we're there to support you.
yes. So you can find us on the Faith Blind Council podcast Discord server, which I think you can find on Disboards or from searching on Google, right? Or other search engines. I don't know. Have to cut that out.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, you Google we shill. Do.
Yeah.
I don't. Are you even allowed to say their name without they'll be knocking on my door.
Somebody royalties.
But so some good valuable troubleshooting questions you can use on your own time, just as a general self-analysis. Am I having fun? Am I bettering the lives of myself and others around me in whatever that means to me? Like, honestly, having a diversity or having an idiosyncratic nature to the practice doesn't mean that stuff can never go wrong. In any kind of life, in any kind of process, there's always an opportunity for stuff to go wrong. But if you are self-analyzing and if you're looking at, am I having fun and am I bettering the life of myself and those around me, you can address a lot of those problems really early on.
Fuck yeah. Okay, so I feel like we've covered some pretty good ground. Does anybody have anything that they want to like share or talk about before we button it up here?
I did want to talk a little bit about the sapertroph working and my experience with the sapertroph, because I think that's pretty emblematic of my work with the project in general, and might give some other folks some ideas about where to go potentially.
Okay, hell yeah. So maybe we should just set the table real quick for people who are new. Like, what is the sapertroph network and what are the sapertrophs?
So as just a general rundown, the sapertrophs are a network of servitors or brain beings, magical tools with a certain degree of autonomy, right?
Yes, agents of some kind. and, you know, sometimes people consider that these things are summoned. Sometimes people consider these things are created. We're not really that concerned with exactly the nuts and bolts of that, just how it functions, right? It's functionally the same. So think of it however you like. But yes, this is a network of servitors that is a sort of like subroutine, if you will, of the Green Mushroom Project. They're hooked into the current. And one of the reasons that we created them is that I think that a lot of new practitioners feel a lot of anxiety, or like that there's like a barrier to creating these agents. And so we thought that this might be a way to help with that. There's other reasons that we created it as well. It was initially conceived of as being a sort of way to help practitioners prophylactically shield themselves from like really negative energies and like negative scary situations. Somebody had come to us and said, like, could we come up with some kind of like a magical tool for confronting this challenge? And so we said, we will fucking try. So after giving it some thought, the sapertrophs were what resulted from that. So hopefully did I miss anything with that explanation? Thank you for helping me, Manu. I feel bad. I was like, answer this question that I probably could answer easier. Yes.
No, that all sounds good to me. But the cool thing about it, so I came into this not as the not from the perspective of someone who had never made a servitor before, although it was obviously very good for that, and we still have that ritual up and available on the Discord if anyone's interested in checking that out and seeing the actual process that we went through. But I've made many servitors, and I've made a lot of different servitors for a lot of different purposes. But I had this very, very interesting experience creating one as a part of this group working, where the intent that I came in with was I had this idea of fat in my brain, this idea of a lipid, this idea of an energy storage device. And so I want to name my servitor Adipose and have it as kind of this thing that would collect stray energy, redistribute that, be a touch point for either other servitors in the project or people interacting with that thing, largely for myself. And then having built that and having come in with that idea, I expected it to have about the same feel as other servitors that I had made. But more than that, it ended up being a bigger. It was the original intent, but it was extrapolated and sort of powered by the fact that I was building this in conjunction with the network. Like other things that I've done with the Green Mushroom Sigil, it was bigger and brighter than I had originally sought to make, which was very, very cool. I haven't quite had that experience before of setting out to build something and having it end up being a little more effective or a little bit bigger than I had sought out. So the actual visualization of the thing was larger. So when I go into my imaginal space, when I'm going into my astral space and I'm visualizing the servitor, it is physically larger in my mind's eye than what I had originally sought. It is in this way where it feels like it is building up off of and growing based on my interaction with the people around me, with the network, with the sigil itself. It feels like I, either from a psychological perspective, had a little more confidence in myself, had a little more confidence in my efficacy because of my interaction with it, or from a spirit model where this thing is literally getting powered by the people around me. It's ended up being a very, very effective tool. It's ended up being a very, very good tool to work with, and good with a capital G. It feels good to work with. And that's kind of a beautiful thing. So when I visualize, when I'm in the actual process of this servitor, this entity laying its hand on my forehead and envisioning that point of green light that is my method of interacting with this thing, and then sending it out to go propagate that green light, I am having this experience that is bright and warm and connected as a result, I believe, of the framework in which it was built. So that was a lovely experience for me, and something that I don't know if is mirrored elsewhere necessarily, but something that you could potentially find yourself, that maybe by utilizing a little bit of this green energy, by utilizing a little bit of this network, you can build something a little better too. I think that's part of human nature, in a sense of we're going to tap into community. We can build something better together than we might have been able to on our own terms. Yeah, just to cap that off, that's a very independent experience, and that's very representative of my own work with the project. And I can't speak for anyone else's by any means, but it was ultimately very helpful and very useful for me.
Okay, dude, thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah, that's dope. That's super dope. And the Sapertropes is definitely something that we're going to be doing an episode on later. So if people listening are curious to hear more, stay tuned and we'll eventually be doing that for sure. All right. Does anybody have any closing thoughts?
Stay juicy.
Squeeze the juice.
Oh, I will.
Fucking Pauly Shore, man.
I just want to say thank you all so much for being here today and for participating and everything that you all have done. Thank you. I feel like I'm going to make this really weird if I keep talking. I'm going to stop right now.
How about, hey, thanks for inviting us. We're happy to.
Yeah, thanks, Luxa. Yeah. Bring it all together.
Thank you, Luxa.
All right. Well, everybody, have a fantastic evening. Cheers.
You too.
Bye, all. All right, fuck yeah. Thank you so much to Dave, Josh, Joy, Manu, Ravitz, and Yara. It's an honor and a privilege to have such cool collaborators. You can check out the show notes for links to Unearthing Paranormalcy, Faithline Council, Administrism, and all the other The Green Mushroom Podcast Network shows, including Ad Hoc History and Smuts Up. Also in the show notes will be links to people's social media and stuff. Definitely check out all of the cool stuff that my guests are up to. It's really rad shit. Also very rad is the previous episode of the show in which I talked to Adam Matlock, aka An Historic, about his practice as a musician and an occultist, and his work with the Green Mushroom Project. Shout out to everybody participating in the project and hanging out in the server. Much love. And many thanks to Cuvaro for making the very cool The Green Mushroom track. Definitely check out the link to all of Q's stuff in the show notes. I feel like there is a bunch of stuff I'm forgetting here. I sort of had this fantasy of putting together something really comprehensive, like, about the project, but I think it's important to remember that perfect is ever the enemy of good. Actually, I think ideas like incompleteness and math kind of demonstrate that aiming for perfection is literally aiming for failure. I don't know, maybe. I guess it seems kind of irrelevant here. Anyway, check out the show notes for links to a bunch of stuff about the Green Mushroom Project. There are a bunch of guided meditations, instructions about rituals, how to make a saprotroph servitor, all kinds of stuff. Please don't hesitate to reach out with questions or things that you would like us to talk about during this audio grimoire series. As always, I love to hear from all of you. Please send your thoughts, questions, suggestions, or arcane revelations to luxoccultpod@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram at luxoccultpod. You can also see my weird art and magic food mashup bullshit at The Mimetic Disease, and follow the Green Mushroom Project at HyphoSigil. I'm not great at using social media, but I try to keep up with all of it. It's super dope seeing what people are up to, though. If you like the show and you're into what I'm doing here, don't forget to tell a friend or a bitter enemy, or give it a review or some stars. Or if you want to take a bibliomancy break with me, you can do so by joining the Lux Cult Patreon. And there are no tiers or levels or whatever, so give as you will. My very heartfelt gratitude to those of you who are already doing so. Really appreciate the support. It really means a lot, so thank you so much. All right. Well, as promised, I will leave you with the version of the meditation that you might have heard Dave read in the meditation mashup episode. I think it's also released on its own too. So this is one of the first things that I ever wrote, like, for the project. This was the first guided meditation I ever wrote. It's not something I've done a lot of, but yes, I hope you enjoy it. When I went back and listened to it, it was less horny than I remembered it being. So yeah, I don't know what I was so worried about. But yes, I hope you all like it. Thank you so much for listening to Lux Occult Podcast. As always, remember to resist, stay strong, and stay fucking curious. Delta, K-Bank, Oscar, Oscar,
Group 1. Zero. Victor.
Charlie.
Group.
Kilo.
One.
Victor.
Zero.
Charlie. Gold.
Bring awareness to your body. Acknowledge this awareness by shifting your position to one that feels a bit more comfortable, a bit more relaxed. Breathe in deeply, concentrating on the breath. Feel it filling the lungs, the buildup of pressure of the inhale, the release of the exhale, like a wave creeping over the shore before returning to sea, the cycle repeating endlessly. Breathe in again, feeling your body relax a little more. Feel your body sink into the surface where you sit or lay. Feel the serene stillness of it. Search in that stillness for the center of yourself, the seed of pure potential that exists within each of our cores. Feel that source of your inner power. You are in the darkness, but it is the darkness of a comforting safety, like that which falls like a curtain just before sleep. You are safe. You are whole. You are enough. Strong enough. Brave enough. competent enough to do the work before you. And in your core, you know this. You have always known it. Around you in the darkness, a sphere of energy is beginning to form. The energy is cool, blue, calm, inviting. Feel the energy of the sphere coalesce until it becomes a bit more visible. It is the blue color of deep currents of the sky just before dawn. It is the energy of expansion and openness, which by its very nature wants only to expand. It is receptive, a space that is space itself. Hold the sphere in your mind's eye, in the periphery of your vision, and imagine its energy radiating out into the far reaches of your inner world. An ever-expanding space with you at its center. Feel that feeling of openness as a physical sensation, the chest expanding, the mind relaxing, the body calm. Hold this space. Feel the limitless potential of an expanding universe and the dreams which populate it. Feel the structure of the space around you, which is also this moment. In the darkness, the expansive calm, a light is beginning to shine. You can see it just between your eyes and slightly above in the position of your third eye. Focus on it. As it grows brighter, you can see that it is made up of a yellow light, a volatile spark that wants to arc, to travel, to explore. It is the energy of initialization, an arrow shot into the void. The spark grows brighter, washing the darkness behind your closed eyes in a profusion of tiny lights, dancing with crackling energy. Focus on the expansive sphere and the spark in the darkness at once now. Feel the energetic potential of their opposing natures. These two forces are fundamental, their interactions, the beginning of all things. Feel their desire to combine, to create. Hold this limitless power of creation. Breathe it in, and when you breathe out, feel your own power to create, to build, to connect. You are the embodiment of a limitless potential. You are a temple which contains the sacred flame, the seed at your core around which you grow. The power is building now, the spark growing brighter, the sphere electric with energy of expectancy. Look into the light of the spark. You can now see that within the spark there is something very important. Important to you. Only you know what this thing is in this moment, but it is a thing that you hold with a fierceness and a passion that drives you to act, or a thing which you love so much it brings tears. It may be a moment, a memory, whatever you see in the spark. Allow yourself to sit for a moment with the feeling of it. Notice it. Notice its intensity, building expectantly. Breathe deeply, your breaths now coming a bit quicker as you draw extra energy to maintain this focus. Feel the pushing, the pulling, the balance that hovers around an equilibrium that will never be reached, for if it were, all things would cease. Let the pressure build up, maintaining focus, the energy growing more insistent. When you feel the moment is right, allow the spark to explode outwards in tiny glittering yellow stars, fireworks that meet with the blueness of the sphere and turn green. The aftermath of this creative explosion is a cloud of green specks of light swirling around you in fractal patterns. Dancing and twirling in the eddies of air, the sparks float all around you and upwards. In the currents of the upper atmosphere, the sparks are carried on high winds to distant places, floating down to do their work wherever they are needed. They are spores. Where they settle on your skin, you feel comfort. As you breathe them in, you feel repair. You can feel the specks of green light, the spores of an astral mushroom, which grows and glows with green light somewhere in the realm of the imagination. Its hyphae rooting down into the ground where it connects us all together. One dream, dreaming of itself. If you see a situation where the sparks, the spores, can help to heal, simply imagine them floating down and taking root. Realize that we are covered in the sparks, the seeds of healing bringing relief. Relief from the strain and the stress of these hard months. Relief from the feelings of uncertainty and unease. Relief from the heartache and isolation of loss. The glittering green sparks sink in, and with sudden certainty you feel it's going to be okay. And you don't have to understand the why, or the how, or the when to know this. For in your core, you know that together we can make this so. You are not alone. You are part of a vast network. We are all connected, all life, all of us, in ways too complex to understand, but simple to know. You are not alone, and you are loved. You are safe. You are whole. And you are already enough. Bring your attention back to your breath. Breathe deeply. Feel the awareness of your body. When you are ready, open your eyes and look again at the sigil. You may see, out of the corner of your eye, perhaps, that it is a light with a green glow.
Occult is part of the Green Mushroom Podcast Network. To hear more great independent productions like the one you just listened to, visit our catalog at tgmpodcastnetwork.com.
Are you tired of other so-called energy drinks leaving you stuck at start while your opponents level up? Try Demon Semen, new from Blastastic. With 5 patented ampers plus a spicy kick of cayenne, Demon Semen will have you blasting to the next level. don't have time to guzzle the whole bottle? Sometimes I just spray it all over my face for a quick pick-me-up between bosses. Demon Semen by Blastastic. It's conquest in a can. Blastastic, get blasted! Demon Semen and Blastastic are registered trademarks of Illumin Industries. All rights reserved. Available wherever narcotics are sold. See label for possible side effects.
Hi, I'm Frater Yarmurud.
And I'm Zarina.
And we'd like to introduce you to Administrism.
What is Administrism?
As an occultist, for years I felt the universe directing me towards a practice that was ecologically based, with a foundation laid out by cultures untouched by the influence of what's become modern Western society. With labels like shamanism and neo-shamanism carrying too much uncomfortable post-colonial baggage, I've decided to take my own approach.
Join Yara and me as we research and develop a magical system where we recognize our place in nature with all the life that surrounds us. We want to share with you our journey into a paradigm that incorporates ritual and ecology, anthropology and metaphysics, biology, and the occult.
Using ethically sourced material, historical accounts, ethnographic records, and our own personal experience, we want to share our discoveries as we watch Administrism grow in an organic blend of traditional spirituality, modern science, and a dash of homesteading, without all the connotations associated with labels like shamanism.
We hope that by listening to how Administrism sprouts in us, it will plant its seeds into your own practice. This way, you can find your own balance between magic and nature.
Because the world needs room for both.
And don't forget, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
What scares you?
Ghosts.
Aliens.
Monsters.
The occult. Conspiracies.
Some of you like to be scared, and unearthing paranormalcy is for you.
Some of you try everything you can to avoid it. Unearthing paranormalcy is for you.
We take the topics that scare some, and we dig in to find the source, then present the history to make the paranormal a little more normal.
We also throw in a bit of comedy to shed a light on some of the darkness in the world.
So whether you're scared of bumps in the night, what's inside your own mind, or strange lights in the sky, we cover it all.
We dig in and present all that we find and try to come up with some logical
and not so logical
reasons for the high strangeness happenings.
Sometimes we are scared of the things we don't understand, and the more we understand, the less we fear.
So find us, Unearthing Paranormalcy, on your favorite podcast app, and join us on Facebook, Instagram, and Discord at UMP Normalcy. And until next time,
keep digging.